Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Charles Hewlett, and I'm the principal of Carey Baptist College. So I guess I've had the opportunity to see Lyndon up close and personal over the last 3 years. And I'm very keen to state this morning that I think God has blessed the church at Manurewa Baptist greatly. He has given you a wonderful man. He has an outstanding wife, and his two children, I think their commitment to Jesus, their commitment to their mum and dad is just second to none. So God bless you guys heaps for the way that you have let God work through your parents. I look expectantly to how God is going to use this church to bring him honour and glory in his kingdom. Just a few minutes, I want to bring a passage of scripture to you as a church. I've been thinking about these verses for a long time now, and I feel that God would have me share them with you this morning. And I even feel more committed to them because they've already been read in our service this morning. I don't know, do you bring your Bibles to church anymore? I don't know. Psalm 133. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'll put them up on the screen. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is a song that would have been sung by the pilgrims as they were making their ways to the festivals in Jerusalem. Passover, festive tabernacles, and so on. And it's a real celebration of family and of communion and of oneness. And in just three short verses, the writer summarizes the goodness and the pleasantness of living together in unity. Verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. The word good here, it's the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 1. When God gives his assessment of creation. In Genesis 1, we read in the creation story, God saw that it was good. In fact, I think in chapter 1 there, he might use the word good 5 times. And then it's all summed up. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. If you look in chapter 2 of Genesis, in fact, God declares it is not good for humans to be alone. I will make him a helper as a partner. So here in Psalm 133, the word good would remind the singers as they went on their pilgrimage of God's provision of community for them and of togetherness and how good it was, how good and pleasant it is. Pleasant is often used as a parallel with good. It means lovely, attractive, how joyous. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, there's differing opinions as to what the context of the psalm is. Who's it written for? What were they doing? And in what context? So if I've said that I link it to the Jews who are making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they would have enjoyed a real ecumenical experience as they travelled together. And despite the fact that they were gathering for one purpose, the worship of God in Jerusalem, and despite they had a common history together, they had been in Egypt, taken, redeemed from Egypt, and they would have encamped around the tabernacle in the wilderness. These pilgrims, they would have come from many different backgrounds and parts of life. and different regions and different tribes, and there would have been a real plenty of opportunity for the making of conflict. I guess simmering family tensions could potentially surface. There would have been competition for scarce resources, for water, for campsites. The rivalries between the various tribes would have had a real opportunity to be manifested. As one writer described it, bring together crowds of people pushing through narrow gates and jostling each other in narrow streets, and the appeal for harmony would need to be heard loud and clear. Tempers could quickly flare. And in this context, Psalm 133 would have been very important for them. It would have been very relevant, a very important reminder. Other scholars say, no. That's not the context of the psalm. They say it's more of a background where there's tension between Israel and Judah. Remember the northern and southern kingdoms and how they were divided, Rehoboam in the south, Jeroboam in the north. One commentator says, no, this image is not of a quarrel-free family snuggling around the hearth, but of undivided land holdings. This is a metaphor for an undivided kingdom. The psalm expresses a hope for the reunification of the north and south with Jerusalem as capital of a united kingdom. Oh, division. Conflict had terrible consequences for the nation of Israel. David and Solomon's kingdoms destroyed. The economy was severely damaged. They even had wars, skirmishes against each other. And eventually, you know, there was such a huge leadership vacuum that the Assyrians and the Babylonians were able to come in and just wipe them out and take them off into captivity. It's easy to see how the message of Psalm 133 would be important in that context. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together. Still, other scholars say, no, there's another context it could be here. We don't think that it's the pilgrimage or to do with land, but it's actually describing the dwelling of physical brothers together. Remember Abraham and Lot? Jacob and Esau before their separation? Listen to what this writer says. We recognize here an ancient custom in Israel that we find also among many other peoples of the most varied nationalities and races, according to which family property remains in the undivided possession of the heirs through many generations, or at least it is worked by them in common. A custom in which their dwelling together in the same house may be also associated. The psalmist thus praises a good old custom that in his own time is in the process of disappearing. How lovely it is, he says, when brothers have such a strong sense of family and get along so well that they can go on living together. Whatever the context of the psalm, whether it's going on the pilgrimage, whether it's political land divisions, whether it's dwelling together, whatever. When people sang this song, what a great reminder they had of the need to live in harmony. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We don't have to look very far today, do we, to see the tragic personal and social consequences when communities break down, when personal agendas are elevated above a common goal. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul describes the characteristics of disunity as quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. And here he's unfortunately talking about church members and leaders. The community celebrated in verse 1 is unpacked in verse 2 and 3 of this psalm. Two metaphors are used to articulate this unity. Firstly, unity is likened to oil. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. This is no ordinary oil here. Verse 2 tells us it is precious oil. And the references to the anointing of the high priest as part of their consecration, their priestly consecration. And it would have been a perfumed oil, it would have been poured over the head of the priest, and it was a sign of their appointment by Yahweh, by the Lord. This person was from God. Event was a real celebration, and they were excited because God's presence was with them in their community. And the psalmist is telling us that this idea of togetherness, this idea of unity, well, it's actually a sacred blessing from God. Our unity is not something to be taken lightly. We're not the ones who decide whether being together is an important issue or not. Oh, I can't be bothered with it. Ah, you guys slow me down too much. I'm not giving up my rights for the rights of others. No. The psalmist here is saying it's the complete opposite. Unity is to be revered. It's holy. Unity is blessed. It's consecrated. Unity is a special blessing from God. And we see this at the heart of Jesus' prayer for his disciples, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent them. So firstly, God tells us in Psalm 133 that unity is good and that it is a sacred gift from God. Secondly, this celebrated unity is like the dew. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Oh, I think that's fascinating. Don't you think that's a beautiful description? It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. You see, in the people's minds, when they thought of dew, they would be thinking of things like fertility and prosperity. See, not much rain would fall on Israel between the months of April to October. And therefore, dew became a very important commodity to them. It would refresh the land. It would help mature their crops. And here in verse 2, there is so much dew that it overflows to Jerusalem. Now, I thought I'd bring a map with me this morning. I don't know whether you're going to be able to see it or not. But right up the top, can you see Mount Hermon? Right up the top there. And the Jordan River would go down about 200 kilometres and it would empty out into the Dead Sea. It started in Mount Hermon. I looked up my dictionary. Mount Hermon forms one of the greatest geographical resources of the area. Because of its height, it captures a great deal of precipitation in a very dry area of the world. Mount Hermon has seasonal winter and spring snowfalls, which cover all three of its peaks for most of the year. Melted water from the snow-covered mountains, western and southern bases, seeps into the rock channels and pours, feeding springs at the base of the mountain, which form streams and rivers. These merge and become the Jordan River. Additionally, the runoffs facilitates fertile plant life below the snow line, where vineyards and pine, oak and poplar trees are abundant. And the psalmist is saying to us, this is what unity is like. Harmony and togetherness results in people being blessed. Notice that both these images oil and dew. Something flows down from the higher to the nearby lower element. Three times in verse 2, the psalmist uses the word down. Running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. And in fact, falling on in verse 3 is the same Hebrew word as running down in verse 2. Gunkel explains they are meant to illustrate how lovely it is when the possessing element gives something of their oversupply to the poorer who dwell near them, as must be the case in brothers' shared economy. The precious oil poured in abundance over the head does not remain there, but trickles down onto the beard and thus benefits it as well. And Aaron's beard flows down in waves to the collar of the robe so that they too receive adornment and dignity. High-rising Hermon, surrounded by clouds, blessed with rich dew, does not retain a noble wetness for itself. Rather, its brooks pour it onto the lower heights before it. This is why unity is such a good thing, such a pleasant thing, such a sacred thing, because when people are genuinely together, everyone gets blessed. Because when people are genuinely together, no one selfishly holds on to their resources. There's a real sense of generosity in these verses. It's not just a case of me sharing the things that I want to. Verse 3 summarizes it well. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Again, when people live together in unity, there the Lord sends his blessing. Life in all its promised fullness. How different this is from the trickled down economics we have seen in New Zealand society, where the rich get richer and the poorer get poorer. Well, what's the context of Psalm 133 this morning? Well, what's the context that this psalm is being read in today? Well, it's Manurewa Baptist Church, the induction service of a new pastor, the formation of a new staff team, new opportunities, new ministries, new mission. It is a very exciting context. However, I reckon the potential for disunity is very high in a situation like this. There could be a number of things that could cause disunity at MBC at this time. I don't know. Disunity might come because a new pastor does things in a new way. I'm going to dig my heels in. No way am I going to allow him to change that. Disunity might come because the pastoral staff team has grown and team dynamics have changed. Oh, I can't be blowed running my decisions past the others. It just slows me down. It just takes too long. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. This unity might come because the new pastor has different priorities than the last fella had. Oh, if he doesn't put more effort into my ministry area, then I'm going to reduce my giving. I heard the new pastor can speak Mandarin quite well. This unity might come because the new pastor spends just a little bit too much time with the Chinese congregation. Ah, oh, if he keeps spending time with them, well, I might have to find a new church. I don't know. But what I do know is that the psalmist tells us here that this is not the way. And this is my encouragement to you as a church as you start this new season together. Unity at Manurewa Baptist Church is a precious, sacred gift from God. And the results of being together will be good and pleasant for you. Not just within this building, but within your community as well. I'd like to read the psalm through to you a couple more times. We could have the next slide. How good and pleasant it is when Lyndon and Monique and Lois and Dave and Dale live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Sinai, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. Diverse leadership skills, clear and united strategy, a fun place to work, and more followers of Jesus. The next one. How good and pleasant it is when the eldership live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Sinai, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. United decisions. Healthier church. Stronger pastoral care and more followers of Jesus. One more. How good and pleasant it is when Manurewa Baptist Church live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Sinai, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, a caring congregation, sharing of resources, powerful witness to the community, and more followers of Jesus. As you start this new season together, may God help you to know how good and pleasant it is when his people live together in unity. May God bless you heaps in the years that are ahead.